Welcome to Waypoint Real Talk, where we discuss real estate and your home. Let's get started with your hosts, Aaron Shishilla and Austin Hines.
Welcome to Waypoint Real Talk. My name is Aaron, and today we have an awesome podcast here with Crystal Brady. Crystal, today we're going to be talking about this situation with the real estate market.
Yes.
How it's totally on fire. Everybody's screaming. I'm seeing those TikToks and Instagram reels where it's the realtor's like, now we wait. And then all of a sudden they grab the buyer's hand and they start running. They offer 50K over asking price. The buyer is screaming. And I'm sure that you're dealing with a lot of emotions.
Absolutely. This is where we've landed. You are correct.
Yeah. So tell us what's going on in the market today. I know you have some awesome quotes that you also want to share from some articles from like Forbes. And we'll get into, you know, is there going to be a bubble with this market?
Yeah, I think that's the big question right now. People are feeling uncertain about the market and the direction that we're headed. There's a lot of fear and anxiety because of the 2008 financial crisis, and people are really concerned about where we're headed because they see how rapidly things are appreciating and the multiple offers. So a question that I get all the time is, are we in a bubble? Do I have to worry about my home losing value? What's going to happen over the next year or so in this market? What direction are we headed in? So the quotes that I wanted to share with you, I think this is something that I really concur with. So these are smart people at Forbes, chief economists, and this is their opinion on a national level as far as where they think we're headed. So one of the quotes says, the nationwide housing boom hit a new benchmark in March as housing prices jumped more than 11%. But experts say growth will likely taper off in the second half of the year as intensifying unaffordability narrows the pool of potential buyers, pushing down demand. I do agree with that. It's a supply and demand issue, and we are going to start pricing some folks out of the market, which should help us slow things down just a tad. The other quote that I wanted to share is from Greg McBride, a chief financial analyst at Bankrate, and he also shared with Forbes that home prices are rising at an unsustainable pace, but as supply and demand return to somewhat of a balance, a plateauing in prices is more likely than an outright decline by later this year or early next year. So that's for those folks that are concerned about homes going backwards and them losing value. We don't really think that's going to happen on a national level when you hear what the experts have to say. So those are some of the things that I wanted to get into today.
Yeah. So what is actually going on day to day in your world then in the Tampa Bay market? If, you know, prices are surging, what are buyers having to do and what are sellers having to do?
Yeah, so the bidding wars are real right now. If you are a buyer and you want to purchase a property, you definitely need to have some assets available. You're going to have to pay over the asking price and compete against quite a few other buyers in most situations. And we've kind of gotten to a point where you really need to be able to pay over the appraised value out of pocket, which is going to be additional funds than most buyers used to plan for in the past. We used to plan for down payment and how much you need for your closing cost. And now you have to plan for all of those expenses, plus probably some extra money to make up the difference on an appraisal gap. So if you're not in a position where you have extra funds to do that, or you need money toward your closing cost, those people are having a really difficult time getting into homes right now. On the seller side of it, obviously it's a great time to be a seller. So if you list your home, in most cases, you can pretty much guarantee it's going to sell, you know, in the first 24 to 48 hours, or that you'll at least have several offers. I have listed properties and received as many as 35 offers on one home. That was just a couple of weeks ago. So I'm seeing on average anywhere from 5 to 30 plus offers on properties that I write for my buyers and also on my own listings. So that's the reality of where we are now. But I got to tell you, every month that goes by, buyers and sellers up the ante. Sellers are asking more money for their property because they know they can get it. They're being more selective about the terms and the offers they pick. And buyers are up in the ante by throwing crazier terms out there, like, well, I'll just waive my inspection on an as-is contract, which puts them in a very vulnerable position, things that I would not necessarily advise my buyers to do under any circumstance, nor I would do myself if I were purchasing. But we're starting to see the emergence of some trends that are maybe not the best idea for buyers, but out of desperation, they're doing it.
How did we even get here? You know, obviously there's COVID, and obviously, like, we heard people are not willing to sell their homes. I feel like in Florida, especially, like, Tampa Bay is a lot more relaxed when it comes to COVID in relation to places like California, New York, Washington State. So how did we even get here with the shortage of homes?
I love that you asked that question. That's the key to everything, I think, as far as how we got here is the most important thing. I have some statistics I'd like to share about our inventory, and then we can talk maybe about, like, what that means and what inventory means. Excuse me. So our inventory has been a problem for a long time, pre-COVID, in the Tampa Bay area. And so for us, this is not necessarily anything new. What is new is the level at which we have fallen with that inventory, and that's what's created the current situation. So several years ago, probably for the last, I would say, 5 to 6 years, we have been in a consistently low inventory situation in the Tampa Bay market. And we've had bidding wars and multiple offers this entire time. I was writing multiple offers on homes. If it was move-in ready and priced appropriately, then it was selling quickly within usually a few days or a week with multiple offers. The difference is it might have 2 or 3 offers and not 30 like where we are now. And that's all directly related to supply and demand and the inventory situation. So the statistics I'll share with you, let's just look back every April for the last 4 years and see where inventory's been. In April of 2017, inventory was 3.8 months. In April of 2018, inventory was 3.6 months. 2019, 3.2 months. And 2020, 3.2 months. And this year, in March, I don't have the April stat yet, it hasn't come out, but March 2021's inventory was 0.7, less than 1 month of inventory.
So what does that month mean?
Yeah.
Like 3.2, 3.6.
So let's talk about that. We measure inventory in that term, months of inventory. And that is basically, if we were not to list any new properties starting today on the market, it would take 0.7, less than 1 month, to sell what we currently have on the market. So if it's 3.2, it would take 3.2 months to sell what we currently have if no new listings come on the market. So in a normal market that is not a buyer's market or a seller's market, but let's just say a perfectly level market, that would be 6 months of inventory.
Okay.
So you see the problem.
Yeah, so we were already...
Yes, but you see, I just gave you the stats for the last 4 years. We were already averaging 3 months the last 4 years consistently, which means we were in a severe shortage already. Now, what happened is last year in our market, we shut down in March and April, right? We were all on stay-at-home orders. Real estate was an essential industry, and people could still buy and sell houses during that time, but nobody was. Everyone was fearful. They were told they needed to stay home. It wasn't safe to go out. So nobody was wanting to put their house on the market and have a bunch of strangers walk through it. And buyers were reluctant to go look at houses for the same reason. So there were 2 whole months that there were no new listings being generated. And with no new listings being generated, soon as the governor reopened in May, buyers sprang right back into the market. They were like, you know, we've been at home for 2 months. We've decided we really don't like our house. We need to buy a new one. Interest rates are low. This is the time. Let's get a deal. And they all sprung back into the market, but we had lost 2 months where nobody was putting houses on the market. So we came back with a shortage, and then buyers were in full force and ready to buy. And ever since then, ever since May, if you look at the stats, our inventory has been going down, down, down. We went from 3 months to 2 months to 1 month to now less than 1 month. And ever since May of last year, we have seen a big increase in the bidding wars, and that's why we have landed where we are. So that is the problem. Now, the thing with inventory I always tell people is, imagine if 6 months is normal in a 6-month inventory situation, it's neither a buyer's market or a seller's market, right? We're saying it's level. In a level market, you still get about 2% of appreciation per year. So if you're a seller, you're still gaining some equity, even if it's not a seller's market, which is good news for you. So at this point, we could quadruple our inventory and still be in a seller's market. They would still have the advantage. And that's why we've been seeing the huge equity gains that we've been seeing. It's all a supply and demand issue.
Right. So obviously we have a lot of new construction that's trying to come into play.
Yeah.
And even new construction, I've heard shortage of lumber and a lot of materials to where they can't build these homes. So Tampa Bay was already in a hole of, you know, we were in a seller's market because we had 3 months of inventory.
Yes.
And now we're at 0.7 months. What does this look like for the future? And, you know, tapering off, do we see this getting better? Do we see this, like, if I'm a buyer, should I just wait?
Yeah. So new construction specifically, let's just talk about that for a minute and then make sure I answer your question and don't forget about should you buy. Uh-huh. So new construction, you are absolutely correct. They have seen a huge increase in the cost of materials, lumber specifically, but also a lot of manufacturing delays and issues getting the product they need to put in their homes because they buy in such large quantities, and with manufacturing not being able to do proper social distancing and things like that, they can't turn product out as fast, right? So there's been all these delays and also an increase in cost. So builders have had to raise their prices substantially to help offset that. They were already raising their prices because of the supply and demand issue, and that wasn't stemming the flow. People were just flocking to new construction anyway because the resale market is so difficult that they thought, well, now I can go to this builder and at least I can buy and just pay that price and still get a little bit of closing cost assistance and not have to go compete with this resale house that's got 30 offers. So it's an attractive option for people right now. But unfortunately, that's become saturated as well. And now builders are even shifting. As recently as the last couple of weeks, I've seen this happen. They're asking people to bid on homes now. And they're giving a price and then they're releasing and saying, place your bid and we'll let you know, in a week who we're picking. Mm-hmm. So even they've gone to a bidding war scenarios. Not in every case, not every builder, but I'm starting to see it happening. And now that a few of the big players are doing it, I suspect we're going to see that trend continuing with many of the builders, possibly all of them, in the next few months. Some of them have really long waiting lists, and you know, you might be 30 or 40 down on a waiting list, and you're never going to have a shot with that many people on a list. So there's big issues with new construction as well. Unfortunately, it's not easy to pick one of those up.
So as a buyer, you're kind of just, you're in a pickle.
You are. Yeah, definitely. Patience is key. Maybe having a plan. If you have a hard, fast closing date that you need to be out of your current place and into your new home, probably not a great market for you because that's risky. So things like that are definitely big considerations. To get back to your question, as far as should I buy right now, that is a big question I get. A lot of people say, well, you know, you just told me all this about the supply and demand and the bidding wars and what I have to do to get a house. I'm just going to lay low and wait until all this dies down. Okay. My personal philosophy on that is it's probably not a great idea to lay low and wait because we are still appreciating. So as you lay low and wait 6 to 12 months, you are going to pay maybe 20, maybe 40,000 more for that same house in 6 months or a year because you waited. And you're probably still going to be competing for it. I don't think that's going to go away. I do think there will be a slow in the activity in terms of we're going to start pricing people out of the market. Buyers, there won't maybe be as many buyers. But since we still have a severe shortage, we're still going to have bidding wars. So it might be instead of 30 people bidding on a house, right, we go back down to like 10 or 15. Mm-hmm. And so if you're still competing against 10 or 15 people in 6 months or a year and paying more money, to me, that doesn't make sense. I'd rather get in the trenches now and compete with people. Maybe I have to write 5, 6, 7 offers, but I eventually land one, buy the house now and allow it to appreciate and live in it now, versus paying rent or whatever for another 6 to 12 months and then paying more money anyway.
Right. Do you know what those, so you have a couple of rental properties.
I do.
Right. Mm-hmm. So what are those landlords doing with those rental properties? Because obviously they're probably sitting and you're probably sitting on a huge amount of appreciation for your homes.
Yeah.
What are you doing as far as pricing your rental properties? Are they staying the same? Are you increasing your rental price as well?
Yeah.
What do you think would be a better bet as far as affordability?
Yeah, so that's a good question. I have been increasing my rental prices and finding renters faster than ever. So there seems to be a really high demand in our market for rent as well as for purchase. So if people are thinking, you know, oh, well, I'll just keep renting, I do think they're going to continue to pay more to rent and see that increase for sure.
So it seems like you might as well just jump on the bandwagon.
If you can.
Owning a home.
And personally, I'm still buying properties. I'm still buying investment properties. And if I needed a primary residence, I would still choose to buy one now versus waiting 6 months or a year. I just don't think that's a good idea. I purchased a rental property that I closed on in February. And in that particular part of town, it was a hot ticket. There were lots of offers. I had to write about 5 offers for myself on properties before I landed this one. And I ended up paying, I think, about $16,000 over asking. And there were 13 offers on the one that I eventually won and mm-hmm. purchased. And I promise you, that same house, because I'm looking with buyers right now in that same neighborhood, those houses now, instead of having 13 offers, have 30. And that's the situation I would have been in today had I waited a few more months. So, and the appreciation, of course, like, you know, we're even in just a few months in that part of town, there has been appreciation. So I'd be paying more money. So I'm glad I did what I did, you know, and decided to just be aggressive the beginning of this year to buy a rental now and kind of get in there and compete with everybody. I clearly feel like that was the right call for myself. So I encourage others to do the same. The only time I would maybe encourage you to not jump in is if you don't have the means to do so. If you are a buyer that needs closing cost assistance, you can't afford to make the offers you need to make to be competitive, you're just going to be writing offers and probably not having a great chance of getting them accepted. If you fall into that category, then you can still try, but you just don't have high expectations and it might not be the right time for you, or you might not find success, is what I would say to those people. But if you have the means to make really aggressive offers, you should probably get in there and do that and compete right now and try to get something now versus later.
Okay, great. So last question I have mm-hmm. is long-term future outlook of the Tampa Bay area.
Yeah.
What do you see happening? Because I know, you know, everyone says invest in a really good real estate market or an area that's always appreciating. You know, with Tampa Bay just being so, having already such a shortage, what do you see the long-term asset increases or appreciation increases for the Tampa Bay area?
I think they're very strong and they look really good. And it's due to the supply-demand issue that we spoke about earlier with the inventory. I mean, look, if we got regular appreciation in a flatline, you know, market at 6 months of inventory, you'd still be getting probably 2% a year. Even if our inventory, like I said, quadrupled, we'd still be in a shortage. So you're still probably going to see above average equity gains over the long term because of our inventory situation. We are pricing people out of the market. The buyer pool will start to reduce. There won't be people that can compete. Like I said, the folks that need down payment assistance or money toward closing costs, they can't pay the difference on an appraisal. They're going to stop making offers on houses because they're going to realize they're not getting them. So I do think the buyer pool will get reduced, but the inventory's not increasing, and that's the problem. So we're going to continue to see those appreciation gains. Instead of the 10 or 20% that we're seeing in some areas, you know, it might be 5 to 10%, maybe even 5%. That's still above average, amazing appreciation. So from an investor standpoint or somebody just wanting to have equity in their home, obviously, after they purchase it, I think we're all going to be in a really good situation and it's going to continue to go up. People ask me, like, well, are we going to have this bubble that bursts and then we're going to lose value in our homes? I do not see that being the case because, again, I mean, even if we had 5 or 6 times the inventory, we still wouldn't be in a situation where we'd be going backwards. We'd just be kind of sustaining with minimal appreciation. And that's good too.
Right. Yeah. And I think you mentioned, you know, before this, the the lenders are not trying to give out mortgages like they were before 2008, yes. 2007.
That's the key to this whole thing. I'm glad you brought that up because we've talked a lot about the inventory, right? Well, obviously inventory was tight back in 2008, right before everything fell. And that's why prices were rising. There were lots of buyers. There were bidding wars. People see that happening now and they go, uh-oh, like it's going to happen all over again. But the key component in my mind as to why it's not going to happen all over again is what you just said. The lending regulations now are tighter than ever. So we learned a big lesson from 2008 and that recession. We were doing a lot of loose lending and giving loans to a lot of subprime borrowers, people who had very poor credit and in the past typically would never be approved for a mortgage. They were developing lots of programs for people like that and adjustable rate mortgages. And they were signing up for things they didn't understand or couldn't really do. And there were lots of people defaulting on their mortgages. And that created a big part of the collapse on the real estate side. Adjustable rate mortgages went up. Their monthly payment skyrocketed. They could not afford that home. They thought they could refinance, but the market had crashed, so they couldn't. They can't sell their house because it's not worth anything anymore. And so it just created a really big issue. But now lending is really tight. The pendulum swung after 2008. We had a lot of reform in the mortgage industry, and it got very difficult to get a mortgage. Then we've sustained that the whole time, right? Then going into COVID, we've thrown new guidelines on top of lending because of COVID. Lenders are fearful. They don't want to take a risk. Self-employed people, they want to know they're still working, they're making income every month, and their businesses are thriving because they know during COVID, a lot of people have gone out of business. So it's harder than ever to get a mortgage right now. You have to have higher credit. One of the first things they did, like right around when COVID really started to happen, is for a period of time, lenders increased their minimum credit score. And it was a 620 and it jumped almost overnight to like a 640 minimum requirement. So there are no subprime mortgages happening like they were before. There's a few, but not an abundance of them like we used to see. And that's going to keep us protected as well. That's a really important piece.
Well, there you have it, everyone. Thank you so much, Crystal, for coming out.
Absolutely.
For those buyers that are wanting to get in on this market, get a lot of the appreciation, where can they find you?
Oh, yeah. You can go to my website, TampaBayBrady.com, or find me on Facebook under Tampa Bay Brady.
Awesome. So we'll leave Tampa Bay Brady's information, Crystal Brady's information, down below in the description if you want to check it out. We appreciate you guys listening, and thanks so much. Till next time.